Blog Talk Radio.
I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms. A great work. It's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
Good afternoon, everyone. The Anointing Full Gospel Center wants to say happy Friday. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today. I'm Tracy with the Anointed Women's Ministry, and I just want to say thank you for spending your time, taking your time to be here with us today. We just want to say thank you for being here, and we thank and honor God for allowing us to be here today because we know we cannot do it without him. So we just thank you for taking our time with us again today on this Friday, June the 9th. So we thank God again for another day. We thank God for all of you. We honor our leader, Chief Apostle Moore, and we just thank God again for another day. So I wanted to share with you the topic for today. And the topic comes, as always, comes from God and experiences that God has allowed me to go through to be able to be an encouragement to share with you all the experiences. And what came to me is all of us can relate to a puzzle. You know, those puzzle board pieces of things that have so many pieces that you'll never get to the end result. That no matter how much that you try to put the pieces together, you try to turn it and move it to try to get to the end result of it, it seems like it takes forever and that it's not going to be successful. But just like that, if we keep in mind the picture, if we keep in mind that larger picture, which is what the end result is of that puzzle, then it helps us to be able to put the pieces in the right direction. And that same thing can apply to us today. The pieces and keeping that larger picture in view is the promises God has with us. Look, I don't know about any of you, but I'm pretty sure that we've all confronted those times in which God has given us promises and we've been excited. We've been feeling like that we're on cloud nine and that we're in where nothing can stop us. We're invincible, that we can make it. We're going to conquer it. We're going to be able to get to that promised land. But after a couple of days and a couple of weeks go by, a couple of months go by, and you don't see it. Sometimes discouragement can come in. Sometimes weariness can come in. Even this morning I was reminded from the elder of the church, look, even Jesus was weary of his journey. And that's very true. Look, understanding this, we're human. We're going to be confronted with this, the things in this life. But God wants us to know that we are well equipped with what we need to be able to overcome the things that we face. And like those puzzle pieces, he has given us what we need to adjust the pieces in our life. And what I mean by that is the experiences that we've gone through. What wisdom have we got from it that will help us live a more effective today? Sometimes we get so overwhelmed when we look at the life, look at our lives. We can't change yesterday. The Bible says tomorrow will take care of itself. All we have is today. So because all we have is today, what can we do to live the best quality life today? Because two things is to remember. Only God has the promise in his hands. We don't have what it takes to manifest it. Because if we could, we wouldn't be waiting. If we could, it would have happened a long time ago. But the reality of it is, when we find ourselves in those places of discouragement, I want to come to encourage you that you are well equipped for what you need to overcome that. Because even when those times come, because look, I've been there. I was there this morning, and I had to be reminded, even looking at this lesson or this topic. Look, and I know Chief Apostle teaches us this. What are the facts? Sometimes we get so caught up in wanting, or the situation, and looking at what happened and wanting to find assumptions and things, or even times we may get, we'll look at our everyday life and think that sometimes it's no purpose. It's another Monday. It's another Tuesday. What's the purpose in it? What's the significance in this day? But I want to ask you this question as a question that has been on my mind for a while, and that is, even though it may seem like it's another Tuesday or another Monday, but what within us do we need to change our perception? Because God has already purposed the promises that he has for us, but what within us we need to change, just like what God said on Sunday, gave us to know. Look, think about what is missing. What is it within us that we need to change, to fluctuate, to make whatever difference in order for us to live a more abundant life, to live a quality life? Because God is not going to speed up the promise for us because we don't like it, or because it seems like it's taking a while and looks like things are happening. But the key of it is that how are we living our life today to be able to help us in today? And the key of it is that what have we been faced with? And I'm being honest with you. When I was in that place earlier, yes, I'm still waiting on a husband. I'm still believing for God to do it. That's where my faith is. And that's why I'm choosing to keep my faith in God, is knowing that he will. But it doesn't mean that I don't feel discouraged at times. Many of you have felt that way. But the key of it is that when I was in that place, I had to sit back. And what I've learned at church, well, you've got to face the reality of it, face the truth of it. Even if it means you've got to take a step back from the desk, stop what you may be doing to tend to yourself. Because as the Bible says, to love thy neighbor as yourself. Oftentimes we can put the time and the effort and the confidence in everybody else. But when it comes to us, we're too busy. Or we'll do it later. I don't have the time to deal with it. But that's how we love ourselves. Take the time and address how you feel. Take the time to acknowledge what you're experiencing. And come to the fact of it. The fact of it is that, yes, I'm still single. The fact of it is that gaining wisdom from, look, I've made choices in the past to go and get relationships on my own that wasn't successful. And I have two choices. I can either do it myself knowing that it's not going to be successful because I have my own history. Our own track record tells us the outcome of that. Or I'm going to face it and say, you know what? I'm making the decision to continue waiting. So at that point, we have to do whatever we can to be able to move forward, reminding ourselves of God's promises, reminding ourselves of what he said. And if it means, look, get up from where you're at, shake some stuff off, acknowledge how you feel, and know that, look, you're not wrong for that. You don't have to try to push and force to make something happen, but do whatever you can do in that moment to help you to be able to move past it. Whether it's, you know what, I am not going to think those things. I pull down the strongholds of my imagination. I'm not going to be involved in conversations that are negative to me. I'm not going to involve myself around people or conversations or whatever activities that's going to cause me to be in that place. If I'm not moving, if I'm not living the life that I know I want to live, if I know I want to live a life that has the peace of God. Now, it doesn't mean things are always going to be the same, but look, we have the authority to know that, look, just because this has happened, just because I may be discouraged, I'm making a choice. I don't have to be there. I don't have to remain where I'm at. Because remember this, God has already purposed the promise, and nobody can take that from you. And I remember learning years ago when I first came to the church, that, look, God has he has your name on the promises. There may be many out there in this world with your name, with my name. But best believe this, can nobody take what is meant for you? God knows you by name. The Bible says he knows the hairs that's on your head. He's not going to get you mixed up with nobody else. So you will obtain that promise, but what kind of quality of life are you living in the midst of it? Now, in that, I want to take us to the scriptures and just talk about, and whenever you get time, you can read over it. And it's coming out of Genesis 12. We're all familiar. We're all familiar when God had called Abraham. And it goes on to verse 1, and it says, The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and will be a blessing, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4 says, so Abram went. And so at that point, there is the promise. Like I've been taught, there is a time when the promise is spoken. It has come forth out of the mouth of God. And then there is a time in which it will be manifested. There's a gap. There's that, as I was taught, you know, like on the tombstone, there's the date of birth, there's the dash, and then there's the date in which the person died. That, what are we doing in between the dash? That's what Chief Apostle taught us in that. What kind of quality of life are we living? Are we just going through the motions? Discouragement comes, we're remaining there. We're constantly going around the merry-go-round of the same experiences over and over again. Because if we look at it like this, going back to the Word of God that talks about, we are familiar with Israel's history. We're all familiar in times when we're traveling through the wilderness and they got to the place where the water was bitter. They grumbled, they complained to God and to Moses. And God provided for them. God instructed Moses to take a stick and throw it into the water, and God's power turned it to water that was sweet, water that they can drink out of. And that wasn't the only instance. There were many instances throughout Israel's history. And the question is that what in our history, in our lives, that we have not learned from to help us to make decisions that will help us to live effectual lives in our present day? Because remember, God has given us everything that we need. We say it often that through the things that we've gone through, God teaches us. But what have we learned? What have we learned to actually say that I'm better today than I was last week? What have we learned? What? Because remember, we've all said it. God speaks all the time. He's teaching us all the time. But what have we listened? Or what have we learned? Are we listening to what he's saying? Because I'm pretty sure that none of us want to remain in the same situation where we're at. And if we want to actually obtain that bigger picture, if we want to actually obtain the puzzle, the promises of God, the question is that what's our responsibility in that? God has already purposed it. He promises he will perform. Now, at this point, if you're gaining that, gaining the wisdom from the things we've gone through, just like Israel's history, the Bible comes to teach us so that we can make different decisions. Our history, our past comes to teach us so we can be able to make different decisions in our lives. And keeping in mind, by pondering God's promises to you, not saying that being on your knees 24/7, but to keep in mind that is focusing on what God has said. And why is this important? Remember that you have an enemy. You have an enemy that's out there that does not like you simply because you look like God. And so because there's an enemy out there, and we can even take it back to Cain and Abel. The enemy studied Cain. That's why God had gave Cain to know, look, the enemy's crouching. He's crouching at your door. And if the enemy can study us, why are we not studying ourselves? Because those same old habits, those same repetitive things that we have gone through, the enemy sees it. He knows it. And he will bring up the same triggers that have caused us to go in those past situations. He will cause it up now. But if we have never learned from it, we'll find ourselves tripping over that same thing again, tripping over that tripwire, tripping over that dynamite that, you know, the grenades that they would, you know, throw out. Sometimes the grenades won't always blow off when they're thrown. But if we're not careful, if we have not learned from those experiences, just like as God reminded me earlier, I was younger and my cousins would do hair downstairs. We had there was a basement at my grand, or the garage that was turned into another bedroom, and they would do hair down there. And I remember being the youngest one in the house, I would go run downstairs and just drop on the couch and just be all in a big kid's face. And I remember this one particular time, I sat down there knowing every day they always did hair pretty much down there, and I put my arm on the armrest. I knew that there was an iron there, but they weren't working over there. So I didn't think about it. I put my arm up there thinking possibly it wasn't even on, and it was on, and it burned my arm. And right to this day, I see that as a reminder. What have you learned from that? But I guarantee you this, after that experience, I kept my behind from being downstairs, or I was more aware. I would just walk in there. I rarely sat on the couch unless I knew every flat arm was pretty much gone, put up, is it on. I learned from that. So going forward, I didn't have that same experience again. Because when we recognize those grenades that have gone off in our past, that has caused us to have these explosive experiences, learning from that by recognizing it, studying our lives. Remember, the enemy takes time to study us, to trip us up. How much more should we study ourselves to not be tripped up? And that's why it's important. Not just because we say it and it's just something to say. No, it is important. Because if we expect to live a quality life that we want to have, remember, God's people are blessed. You are blessed because of God. And the enemy wants to do whatever he can to keep us from walking in that life, in the life of knowing the authority we have and the authority that Christ has given us, the privilege and the blessing that God has given us. And so learning from those things, being aware and understanding the habits or the choices we've made that need to be addressed. Because when we take the time and we recognize, okay, I'm going through the same thing over and over again, when we take the time to recognize it, to address that, then at that point we can find out where it started, deal with it. And once we confront it, then that's when we can begin to see our day-to-day lives change. Then that's when we'll be able to see, okay, the situation comes up, I'm not frustrated as I used to be. Not allowing things to bother me as I used to. That's the effect. That's how it will help our day-to-day lives. Because remember, God has already purposed the promise, but none of us know when that's going to happen. So in the meantime, how are we going to live our lives? Are we going to sit bitterly because it hasn't happened, expecting if we just sit in the corner and be continuing our same old way, the promise will eventually happen? Would any of us want to live that kind of life? No, because we understand that there is more. There is more to be able to live this life. And so also wanting to just honestly just look at those experiences that Israel has gone through. Looking that while all of this is familiar through the things that we have gone through, it's a reminder in our day-to-day lives when we look at things. When it looks like it's a while that it hasn't been changed, things seem like it's not going to go through, every experience is to strengthen our trust in God. For us to see what God is saying, for us to come into the knowledge of who we are in God, things that we need to change. Because God has given us to know in his word that we are to take off and put on. And we've got to take off the old. And if we are not taking time to recognize those things, then we're going to continue in the same habits. Same behaviors, same perceptions, same attitudes. And I remember that was one of the things that was said maybe years ago now. Our perceptions need to change. It's not that the situation will change. Because remember this, you can't change the other person. You can't change how they may choose to do something or not choose to do something. But we have the authority over ourselves. We have the control over ourselves. We should have the control over ourselves. And if we don't, then that's an area to address. And it doesn't mean that we're wrong because there are areas that need to be changed or areas that need to be addressed. No, we're human. And because we're human, there is nothing wrong with you or any of us. Simply because we find that there is an area that needs to be addressed, all it means is that we're human. But what are we going to do with it now that we realize it? Are we going to allow it to remain and to continue to negatively impact our lives, causing us to live beneath our means? I know we've heard of that before, living beneath our means. We look at that even in the world, where the world will say that if you make this amount of money, then your lifestyle should reflect that. If the world has enough sense to think that, then why do we not apply that to ourselves? And I've learned, too, the apostle teaches us, you can look at what's going on in the spirit by looking at what's going on in the natural, and vice versa. And so when we look at the things that are going on in the natural, to think, okay, I shouldn't, the world says, okay, this is what you've been given. This is the kind of life you should live. But God gives us to know, look, he has given us the best out of heaven. Everything that Christ has received from the Father, he's given to us. He's given us the authority. He's given us the power over the enemy. He has given us the opportunity to gain wisdom. Even the Bible gives us to know that, look, he's given us wisdom from the Father. But the key of it is, are we spending time to learn from the things that we've gone through, to activate the wisdom that God has given us? So God does not have to go back and do anything, give you nothing or nothing like that. It's already there. And I remember something that was taught to us at church is that if we don't, it's already there, but we got to activate it. If you don't spend time, if you don't get into the word, if we don't spend time, then how can it come out? It's already there. God's given us the wisdom. He's given us the authority. He's given us everything we need. But if we never activate it, we never plug in ourselves into the source, which is Christ, then we're going to remain in that place, not being useful or not being effective in our lives. And all of us want to be able to live the best quality life, because the reality, what I've learned, is that I can't change. I can't cause the promises to come to pass. I just because I may be feeling what I'm feeling, I can't do anything. But the question is what am I going to do now? How can I be able to live my best life now? And it's not based upon the things, but it's based upon how I view it. That will give me the peace at the end of the day. That will help me to get through the moment, is accepting what I can do and make the choice to be able to do it. And that is what has helped us. And also want to give this question. In understanding the quality of life that we can live, the question is, do you want to walk or journey down a treacherous terrain? Or do you want to travel down the journey of green pastures? Again, it doesn't mean we all can say, yes, we want to travel down, you know, the path of green pastures. That's great. God has given us that. But it doesn't mean that everything is going to be sweet, everything is going to be perfect. We can look at our everyday life and know that to be true. But the key of it is how are we going to live it? How are we going to adjust to it? And that brings me to the book. Because remember, we can't change it. We can't change people. But what have we learned from our past to help us to live effective lives today? What wisdom can we apply today? Because I remember learning at church, and one of the things that was said, you can know where you're going by where you come from. And if we don't take time to study ourselves, we're going to just be flopping along, going through the same thing over and over again, not learning, not realizing. Like a chicken. I remember that was one of the examples that was given at church. A chicken keeps their head down, pecking on the ground. And if you don't, is it that chicken does not hold its head up, you know, like the opposite would be an eagle. An eagle keeps his eyes sharp, keeps his eyes focused for what's ahead. And the question is, which one do we want to be? Because God has given us what we need. He calls us to soar on eagle's wings. He's not called us to peck on the ground, to look down and accept the things, whatever throws at us. The enemy wants to toss this and toss that. Oh, we just accept it. No, you don't have to accept it. None of us have to accept it. And so I want to go into, if you have your book, it's on page 114, and this is coming out again from I When I Am a Survivor by Margaret L. Moore. Again, anybody can get the book. It is available on Amazon. I'm telling you, it has truly blessed my life. It's not one of those books where you can just read once and you're done, but it's really a book that addresses where we're at by sharing the experiences of another so we can look at our own lives. So going into the book, it's on page 114, that goes on to say acceptance. The definition of the word is to give admittance or approval from the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. The key to acceptance is recognition. The definition I like the most is the one that says to admit. Wow, how many of us have problems with this one? Some may think to admit means you are in the wrong. Well, consider the facts. A person isn't always in the wrong when faced with circumstances of grief. Now, I want to say this. Also, in the book, it talks about grief, and grief does not always have to be associated with death. It means deep sorrow, something that was deeply painful, and that could apply to any area of our lives, whether it be jobs, finances, whether it be family, whatever it is. It's something that has caused us deep pain, deep sorrow. So just wanted to mention that as well. And it goes on to say, however, it's wise to consider accepting the reality of what you're facing when trying to get through the last step you need to overcome. It may be true you did nothing wrong to bring the situation on yourself, but it's also true that it happened, and you desperately need to find a way to accept the fact that it did happen. It's about understanding the word grief and applying it to your life where it affects you. And that's what we've been talking about, accepting the truth of whatever it is. If you're in a place of discouragement, whatever may have happened to you to put to allow us to be in that place, we find ourselves in that place, accept it and applying it to your life where it affects you. And then before we run out of time, I want to go as well on page 178. That's the chapter that talks about resolving. A few things I want to talk about. It says, resolve to rediscover ways to broaden your boundaries and to enlarge your territory. Your territory is so broadened, you don't have to remain pecking on the ground. You don't have to remain looking downward when God has caused your head to be lifted up, when he caused your back to sit up straight. He's given you what you need. He has equipped you. You don't have to remain in limited territory that the enemy wants to keep you in. But take the time to study your territory. Take the time to study where you've been at so you can utilize what you've been through to help you to live today. And it also goes on to say, resolve to transform yourself, myself, into the person you've always wanted to be. And also, even I want to add to that, because I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, I came to a point where I no longer wanted to always have my mind always concerned about this, worried about that, always got to figure out what I need to do, how to control this because I need for this to happen, or I don't want this to happen, so I want to do it myself, and my mind always going. And I wondered, is there a possibility that there's something better than this way of living that I've been living and accustomed to for so long? In all of us, whether it be that or whether it be any other area in our lives, that we get to the point of realizing that, look, I don't want to remain in that anymore. I don't want to continue in that anymore. That's how we transform ourselves. When we resolve, when we come to the truth and reality of where we at, what we've been through, what we need to accept, what we need to get to, what we need to address, to be able to transform into the person we want to be. And the last thing I want to mention, it says, resolve to renew your mind by breaking old habits. And that's what I want to leave you all. What old habits need to change so that puzzle can actually come to fruition? What old habits? What things that need to be changed? What things that need to be resolved or addressed so we can live the best of life today? Because God already has our future already set for us. He has the promise for us. But what about today? So I leave you with that, and I pray that you were encouraged by it. I know I was, because, again, I don't know about you, but I'm not always feeling like, yes, things are going to happen. Or sometimes I do get in those places of discouragement. But this has helped me to know that when it does happen, this is what I can do to be able to not stay there, but to move past it and know that God is on my side and that he will help all of us no matter where we find ourselves. So I leave you with that, and I pray that you will have a good rest of your day and a good weekend. So we just honor God and we bless God for this opportunity, and we just go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Just saying thank you. Thank you for this opportunity and all those that have been on. Heavenly Father, we pray for them, Heavenly Father, that they were able to receive what you want them to receive on the broadcast today. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We pray, Heavenly Father, you will continue to keep us and protect us and to call us to evolve, my Lord God, by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. My Lord God, that we'll continue to become who you've called us to be. So, Lord, we thank you for this day, this opportunity, and at the appointed time, we pray that you will bring us all back. So we thank you, Heavenly Father. We honor you, and we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So thank you all again for your time. We thank you all for your support, and we just pray that you enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye. Be blessed.